We're continuing in our teaching series, Breaking Every Addiction. And I know for some people, they may think, well, you know, I'm not struggling with an addiction, so this really isn't that critical for me. The truth is, it is critical for you, because sooner or later, you're going to come in contact with somebody who is struggling with some kind of an addiction. They're going to need some help. And this series will definitely enable you to help them. But it's also a resource that you can give to them. And I'd like you to open today to John chapter 8. This is the ninth part in this series. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I want you to look first at verse 36. Jesus says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, we've talked in this series about how that when we're born again, we receive the life and nature of God, and how that the life and nature of God cannot be addicted to anything at all. So that new nature that we have cannot be addicted to anything. Jesus says that the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God sees us as being free from everything. Now, that doesn't mean that we're instantly living in all of that freedom, but what it means is that God sees us as being free. In verse 32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I've shared in the past that the amount of freedom we live in is directly proportionate to the amount of truth that we know. So, I want you to look at it from this perspective. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So therefore we accept Jesus Christ, we're born again, He sees us as being free from every form of addiction. Whether it is a physical addiction, such as, you know, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, I mean, it doesn't matter, you know. Or a psychological, you know, soulish addiction. Pornography is a soulish addiction. You know, food can be a physical addiction. But we've been set free in this. And that's how God sees us. Well, right along with that, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let me say it like this. Once the Son has set you free, God sees you as being free indeed. And the more you know about that freedom, is the more of that freedom you will live in. You know, I've heard the story of how an animal raised in a cage, when it's taken out of that cage, will just still walk in circles relative to the size of the cage it was in. It's free. It's not in the cage, but it doesn't understand its freedom. And not only that, but I've also read how that, there was a zoo someplace. And I don't know if it was a bear or what they had, a tiger or something. But this thing had been in a cage for so long that when they got it to the zoo, they opened the cage and they let it out. It stood outside the cage and looked around for a while and then turned around and walked right back into the cage. Now, we think that's weird. But what had happened is, in the mind of that animal, it had been conditioned to believe that the cage is where it belonged. Its mindset was a cage mentality. So you have a lot of Christians who have been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. They've been set free, and they look around at their freedom. They don't know how to handle it. They don't understand it. They don't recognize the magnitude of it. So they continue to embrace the addictions from which they've been set free. And Jesus said, if you know the truth, then you'll live in this freedom. Therefore, it's not just a matter of me being made free. It's a matter of me understanding this freedom. Now, we've talked a lot here the last several parts about the Word of God and how that the Word gives us the revelation of our freedom. We've talked about meditating in the Word, reading it and reading it, and how that just reading it creates in our brains new patterns of thought that are directly related to everything that is in the Word. And in the Bible, we read how that God's Word is life and it is light. And even though it appears, no matter what language your Bible is printed in, it is words on paper, ink on paper. That's how it appears to us. But in reality, right here, this ink on this paper, this is life. I know that's hard to figure out. I mean, our minds, we don't understand how can this be life, but it's life. Think of it this way. This is a written form of eternal life. That's just mind-boggling. But that's what it is. And that's why the more that we get into the Word, just even by doing nothing but reading it, it begins to create a new thought process in our minds. It goes along with Romans 12, 1 and 2, where he talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, there's nothing about God's life that can be addicted. So now here we are, free. But so many Christians are looking for the cage, crawling back into the cage. But the door of the cage is open. That door is not shut. That door is open. And yet, just like those animals that will go back in that cage and just keep walking in circles in that cage and the door wide open, there are a lot of Christians that are the same way. And just imagine, and I know that some of you have maybe encountered Christians struggling with addictions. And it's like, no matter what you say, it just doesn't click. No matter how many passages of Scripture you show them, it's like something just, you know, we're not communicating. Like that movie, you know, what we have here is, you know, failure to communicate. There's something that's just not working. Well, I want you to look over in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus is praying, he says, to the Father, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So think of it like this. You shall know the word, and the word shall make you free. Because if his word is truth, and Jesus says, you'll know the truth will make you free. Therefore, if I know the word will make me free. So there is an inseparable connection between truth and word. God's word now. It's all the same thing. And you can't take one away from the other. So therefore, if I know the Word, then I'm going to come to the place of knowing my freedom. And what's amazing is that you can open the Bible and show people who are struggling with addictions what God's Word has said. And they'll read it. They'll read it right out loud to you. They'll agree with you it's God's Word. They'll agree with you it's truth. And then sit there and tell you all about their addictions. And then sit there and tell you all about how they can't. So I want you to think of this. Both the Word and our born-again spirit are spirit-based. There's nothing natural-based about them. They're spirit-based. Now, the Word has an impact on the natural, but the natural does not alter the Word. But the Word can alter the natural. And, you know, in Jesus, he speaks to the fig tree. It withers from the roots up. The Word can alter the natural. And the reason for that is because, now listen to this, the Word is the governing factor for the natural. And I'll show this to you here in just a few minutes. But it goes back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where God was creating everything. And in Genesis chapter 1, he speaks. And the Word became the governing factor of bringing the natural into existence. So the natural does not alter the Word, but the Word can alter the natural. Now I want you to look over in Luke chapter 4. Because we're transitioning here this morning into a, I guess you could say, a new section of this series. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 31... Jesus, it's speaking about Jesus, and it says that he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine. Now look here. For his word was with power. See that? Now, we know from Scripture that Jesus himself admitted, I never say anything other than what the Father tells me to say. So everything that Jesus would speak was ordained of God to pass through him. And here it says, they were astonished at his doctrine or his teaching or his revelation. And it says, for his word was with power. You say, well, okay, yeah, people got delivered. You know, he healed people and things. Yeah, yes, I agree that. But you have to understand, when it says here that his word was with power, this is not simply talking about people that got healed. This is talking about when they were astonished. Notice it says they were astonished at his what? Read it. His doctrine, right? They were astonished at what he was saying, not what he was doing. And the reason they were astonished at what he was saying, because his word was with power. In other words, when he stood up and he started speaking to those people, it penetrated. I know they were lost. I know that they still had the sin nature. But the power of his word penetrated directly into the realm of their spirit. And even though they were lost, their lost nature, sin-natured spirit still detected there's power in what's coming out of this guy's mouth. There's something different when he speaks. And it was a power that not only impacted the natural as people were healed, but it was a power that impacted the realm of the spirit, because when he spoke, these people could tell there's something different about this. Now, in the same chapter, look down in verse 36. It says, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. So here they're watching this, and they're seeing his word comes out, and it causes devils to flee. Let alone people get healed and all this, but it causes devils to flee. And the power of his word in his teaching penetrated and touched their spirits. So they're getting both barrels, if you will. The power of his word is causing things to manifest in the natural, people getting delivered. And it's also penetrating into their hearts and touching them and giving them a revelation. There's something different about this guy and what he's saying that's completely different from what we've been hearing all our lives. There's something going on here. Now I want you to see here in verse 36. What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now let me paraphrase this for the sake of this series. Do you think that speaking the word with power is relegated to only causing unclean spirits to come out? Well, if it can cause unclean spirits to come out, don't you think it should also cause, let's just say, unclean addictions to come out? Yes, but that was Jesus. You see how you make the excuses? Do you understand, and I'm not trying to... Do you understand that when you say things like that, you're actually defending your addiction? Because a person who truly wants to be free isn't going to say, yeah, but that was Jesus. A person who truly wants to be free is going to say, will that work for me too? Can I do this too? And you've got a lot of people out there, Christians, that say, oh, I just want to be free. But down on it, they don't want to. Not really. They know they're supposed to be free, but they're enjoying the sin for the season. This is a long season. And there's something in them that, when we've talked about this, that they really don't want to be free. Well, Jesus said, look, son, set you free, you're free indeed. And you'll know the truth, truth will make you free. You know the word will make you free. And here we see an application of the word producing results, but there is a direct connection between the word and power. You see this? His word was with power. What a word is this? For with authority and power, you know, he commands and things happen. And we know that Jesus spoke only those things that the Father told him to speak. Look over in chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. See a variation of this. In verse 10 it says, "He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years." Now look what it was doing. 18 years. "And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Now, 18 years, this woman is bowed over. And she can't stand up. And I don't know how far bowed over she was. But Jesus says, "Woman, come here." She, you know, makes her way over to him. He just says, "You're loosed from your infirmity." Now, you know how fast thoughts travel through your mind, right? It's like they travel faster than you can think them. So now, in my mind, I'm imagining here she is, and he says, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Says who? Because at the moment you said that, Jesus, I'm still bowed over here. See it? He says, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." Boom, touches her, and bam, she stands up and says, "Well, glory to God." There's something to this Jesus fella. Now, you don't think that such a declaration will work for you? Well, yes, but that was Jesus. You don't think. Oh, in Ecclesiastes, we read this the other night. In Ecclesiastes, it says where the word of the king is, there is power. And the Bible says we've been made kings and priests unto God by Jesus. That means where my word is as a king, there's supposed to be power. Now that's scripture. Have you ever, those of you that are in this room struggling with addictions, how do you know there are people struggling? Trust me. Those of you watching, have you ever spoken to the addiction? Now, in some cases, yes, there can be a tremendous amount of demonic influence in the area of this addiction. I understand that. But whether it's devils or not devils, have you ever spoken to it? Have you ever said anything like, you know, "Cigarette addiction, in the name of Jesus, I'm delivered. I'm not going to live another 18 years bowed over to you." What is it? What happens when the Bible talks about worshiping Jesus? I will bow down. Right? The only person I'm going to bow down to is you, Jesus. You hear me, cigarette addiction? You hear me, alcohol addiction? You hear me, pornography? I'm not going to bow down to you anymore. Amen. It's been long enough. In the name of Jesus, I'm loosed from you. I mean, have you ever thought of doing that? Well, no, Brother Martin, I hadn't thought of that. Well, now you have. It sounds crazy. Can you imagine? You go into your psychiatrist, and you sit down, and the psychiatrist says, "Well, how are you doing today?" Or your therapist, or whoever you see. And you say, "Well, I believe I'm delivered. I believe I'm free from this addiction." "Yes, and why do you think that?" "Because I spoke to it." "We have some more pills for you." You see how it's just totally contrary? Can you imagine in these, some of these group therapy sessions? You know, everybody's sitting in a circle, and you stand up and you say, "My name is Bob, and I'm an alcoholic." And all of a sudden the group says, "Don't you say that! Don't you say that!" Scare the poor guy. Speak to that thing. You tell alcohol addiction, you're no longer going to control my life. You see what I'm saying? What a difference that is? I mean, have you ever thought of speaking to it? Pornography addiction? You know, I don't care what it is. Have you ever thought of speaking to it? The pattern's right here in Scripture. Now, what we see then is truth, word, and power are all interrelated. So when I start talking about God's Word, I'm talking about power. When I start talking about truth, I'm talking about the Word, but I'm talking about power. Look, Jesus said, you know the truth will make you free. There has to be power in the truth or it can't make me free. You see this? Now, look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll tell you what. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 first. Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, God who in sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made all the worlds, who, being in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, now look here, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the right hand of the majesty on high. But notice it says, upholding all things by the word of his power. See that? Remember a few moments ago I said that the word is the governing factor for the things of the natural? Here it says that he upholds or he sustains all things by the word of his power. Now Jesus said, you know the truth will make you free. Truth is the word. You'll know the word will make you free. Therefore, my freedom, the freedom that I'm walking in, the freedom from any addiction, is directly connected to the word slash truth that I know. It says here that Jesus, just say God, upholds all things by the word of his power. Therefore, if all things are upheld and sustained by the word of his power, that also means that my freedom, my deliverance from addiction is sustained by the word of his power. So what this means is that I need to understand more about this connection between truth, word, and power. Because I can't separate them from each other. Now, if I don't believe that there is power with the word, then I will not do anything to try and appropriate that power. I will acknowledge, yes, this is the word of God. You know, it's amazing. How many of you remember the song, I Believe in Miracles? And then at the end of it, I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. Remember that song? Well, I can remember growing up in a Baptist church. And every now and then somebody would stand up and sing that song. I believe in miracles. I believe in God. Amen. That's about as excited as we got. Amen. You know, I mean, there was no, you know, no clapping, no raising the hand, just amen. Amen. When I was in the youth choir, when we would sing on Sunday nights, and we always knew how good we did based on how many amens we got from the congregation. And I can remember more than once there were no amens, and we knew we bombed. So somebody would stand up, and you know, and I think back on that, you know, I believe in miracles, and then turn right around and say, the day of miracles is past. Can I get a witness? Then why do you sing that song if the day of miracles is past? In other words, if we don't believe that there are still miracles, we're not going to trust God for miracles. If I don't believe, and I'm talking about what we're seeing here, if I don't believe that there is divine God power associated with the divine God word, then I will not seek after the manifestation of that power in my life and what it can do. He says that everything is upheld or sustained by the word of his power. So it tells me right there, the connection between the word and power, the manifestation of the power, has something to do with the word. So if I am speaking the word, I need to be at a place of believing I'm speaking power. I'm speaking to my whatever that the doctors tell me I have and declaring that it's not mine. I know you've been messing up my life, you know, tobacco, but no more. You hear me? I'm loosed from this infirmity. I no longer lay claim to you. You're not mine. You're not associated with my nature, and you're not mine. And I will sustain. Now, you ever encounter Christians and just whatever the addiction is, doesn't matter. And they talk about how, well, yes, you know, I got saved 37 and a half years ago, and boy, I was living for Jesus, you know, and I quit my blank addiction. And then, boy, I'll tell you what, just picked it up 10 years ago, started doing it again. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. And you scratch your head and think, I wonder why that is. Well, it says right here, upholding all things by the word of his power. I can tell you why it happens. It happens because somewhere along the line, we have let verse 3 drop in our lives and didn't even know it. But more than not knowing it, we didn't recognize how much we needed it to sustain our freedom from an addiction. Because you see, if I was addicted to pornography, and then, you know, praise God, you know, I'm free from it, and I don't go back and I don't look at it on the computer. You know, I get on the internet, but I don't look at that stuff, and I don't do the magazines, you know, and whatever, the movies, doesn't matter. You know, I don't do that stuff anymore. Well, because I was addicted to it at one time, you think Satan has forgotten that? So he's going to come back at me with pornography. Now, you were never addicted to pornography. Your addiction was tobacco or alcohol or, I don't care, pick one. Well, he's not going to come at you with pornography. He will come at you with what you used to do. Because as far as he's concerned, you're still a wimpy weako when it comes to that area. So he's going to keep coming back at you. And the reason he does that is because he's had so much success in the past in getting people, you know, quote, re-addicted to things they'd been set free from. But it says right here that I am upheld, I'm sustained by the word of his power. My freedom, if the truth will make you free, if the word will make you free, and the truth word has power and is power, then therefore, if I've been made free by the word and the power of the word, then my freedom is sustained and perpetuated by the word and the power of the word. You follow this logic? So I can't just take the word and lay it aside and think, hallelujah, it's over. Because from Satan's perspective, he's saying, oh, you think? I'll let you go here for about 3 years, but I'm coming back. And when I do, by that time, you'll probably be weak enough, I can pull you right back in. This is how he works. Now, I want you to look at another place here. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now in verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now we've already talked about, you know, God's word is truth and truth is God's word, and there is power directly associated with the word of God. Now it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You'll notice kind of in the middle of the verse it says for correction. This word correction means redirect from a wrong course or a wrong path. So here I am. I'm on a path, I'm headed in the wrong direction. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for my correction or my redirection off of this path onto the path I should be on. Relative to this series, all scripture is profitable to get me off of the path of an addiction and on to the path of freedom where I'm supposed to be the whole time. But you'll notice it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, as I've shared many times in the past, this phrase inspiration of God means divinely breathed forth by the Spirit of God or by God's Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit divinely breathed forth or dictated, if you will, these words that have been recorded as the Bible. Now, what does that mean? That means the Holy Ghost knows the Word of God. Okay? That means you're not going to be able to tell Him that the Word says something it doesn't say, or that it doesn't say something that it does say. He is the one who spoke it forth. And trust me, God does not have problems with his memory. Now, here we have the Holy Spirit. He knows the Word, which means he also knows the truth, which means he also knows the power. Now, if he's the one who divinely breathed forth the Word, he is also the one who divinely breathed forth the truth, but he is also the one who breathed forth the power with that Word and truth. He's the one who was given the responsibility to deliver this to mankind. Okay? Now look over in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now I want you to look closely at how this is worded, because it's very important. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? Guide." That means he will not push. He will not force. He will guide. So therefore, if I want to be guided into all truth, I absolutely must have some kind of interaction with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to do this. It says, he will guide you into all truth. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, you'll know the truth will make you free. Therefore, I could paraphrase it like this. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all freedom. See that? What does that mean? It means the moment that I get born again, I don't fully understand all of my freedom. And what's amazing is that there are so many people who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's almost like the churches assume, well, okay, you're saved, now live like it. Well, yeah, I understand that. And I understand about the born-again conscience. You know, Paul wrote about that. I understand that. But you need to understand, the Bible talks about when we get born again, we're spiritual babies. And I need to be nourished. How many times have you ever talked to somebody who maybe they just accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior? And you're talking to them about, well, you know, you need to read the Bible. And they ask, where should I start? Well, that's a stupid question. You mean you don't know? You're saved and you don't know where to start? My goodness. Oh, I don't know. No. You know why we don't answer them like that? It's because we know they don't know. Now, if we know that they don't know where to start, then why do we assume they know everything else? And so many times we just tell them, well, just start reading the book of John, which is an excellent book to start reading. Well, it says right here, the Holy Spirit is going to guide me into all truth. Therefore, he knows the Word. He knows the truth. And he knows the power associated with the Word. Because he can see us, he also knows how much of our life is not yet living in that truth. He also knows how much of the truth is stored in our heads, but has never been deposited in our spirits. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. There is nothing about that verse that says you'll have the Word memorized. You'll have it in your head. Remember, the Word and our born-again spirit is all spirit-based. Therefore, when he says you'll know the truth or you'll know the Word, he is saying you're going to understand spiritual truth in your spirit that will enable you to live in freedom. And until you come to the place of understanding it and comprehending it in the realm of your spirit, all the head knowledge in the world is not going to work. I don't care if you've got the whole Bible memorized. It's not going to work. It has to get down into your spirit. So therefore, you have somebody who's addicted. Again, we're talking Christians. And you read to them things in the Bible about being free and so on and so forth. And they say, yes, I know that. But I still don't know why I can't stop blank. You follow me? We've all heard people talk like that. Well, here's your answer. You don't know the truth. Oh, yes, I do. I just read it. I just quoted it to you. Yes, but you don't know the truth. How can you say that? Why? I just read it to you, but you don't know the truth. Because Jesus said, you'll know it, it'll make you free. So therefore, if I'm not living in the freedom from the addiction, that means there's something about truth I don't yet know in my spirit. I've got it in my head. Well, see, here's the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead. He looks at us and he says, well, I know exactly where your problem is. He says, you don't know the truth. Oh, I just wish I could quit. I just don't understand why God won't help me. I just don't understand how come. And Holy Spirit sits back and he says, now, hold on here. I know the word. I'm the one that dictated this. And I distinctly remember saying, sin shall not have dominion over you. Do you not know that? I know that's what it says. Yes, it's the Word of God. I know it's the truth. I know it, but I just don't know why I can't. He says, now hold on a second. I said sin shall not have dominion over you. I know, Holy Ghost, I know that's what you said, but I just don't understand why I can't quit. I just don't. He says, you just don't know the truth. Oh yeah, it's in there. But you don't know it. How can you say that? I'm God. I see way in there. I see what you can't. You believe because you know where the verse is, that you can quote the verse, that you've read the verse, that you've got the whole chapter memorized. You think that's all it takes. But there is a difference between your mind and your heart. I work with the heart. And that's where you have to get the truth buried. It has to be embedded in your heart. He says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into. It doesn't say He will reveal to you all truth. He will guide you into. So therefore, here I am born again. And yes, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Well, I've already been guided into the truth of being born again. Because I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He doesn't have to guide me into that truth. You need to be born again. I'm already there. But now what He wants to do is guide me into the truth. Into. Now, I'm not in it. But He wants to guide me into it. Once I'm in it, then the stuff that was outside of it isn't in there with me. And once I'm in this truth, I'm swimming in my freedom. And the only way that will change is if I climb out of the pool, out of the truth, and go back into the stuff. But I'm free, man. I'm here. I'm free. And the way I stay in this freedom and swim in it 24/7, I am sustained and upheld by the power of the Word and the Word of the power. See that? That's how I live in it. You know, they tell you you're supposed to take vitamins. And a lot of people take vitamins. A lot of people have to take vitamins because there's a deficiency in their body. And if they don't take the vitamins, they don't get the right sufficiency of vitamins in their body. And it goes back to Genesis 3, why the body's messed up like that. Well, they take the vitamins, they start feeling good, then they stop taking the vitamins because now I feel good. And pretty soon, there you are, you got rickets again. Rickets is the result of a vitamin deficiency. Well, you take the vitamins, you're okay. You're sustained by the power of the vitamins. Scurvy is a vitamin deficiency. Beriberi is a vitamin deficiency. I mean, all these different things, it's just vitamins can take care of. Well, you know what? Once He's guided me into it, why in the world wouldn't I want to stay there? and I'm sustained by the power of the Word. Well, the Holy Spirit does it. I can't do it. This whole series, it's not going to do anybody any kind of help unless they receive it and apply what God is showing in His Word. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, by the time this series is over, there is no Christian who will ever have an excuse, a real, genuine, legitimate excuse for living with any kind of addiction ever again. Because I know pretty much the direction we're headed in all of this. He's kind of given me a glimpse ahead. And I know once the series is over, nobody who listens to it and applies it, will live with any kind of addiction ever again. I know that. I know it. So if somebody listens to this and it didn't do me no good. Then I know right away that you didn't let God's Word work in you. I know that. Because see, I can't change you. All I can do is convey the information from the Word of God. That's all I can do. And it says right here, the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth. Well, for crying out loud, if I don't let Him do that, He can't guide me into my freedom. So here I'm seeing now, in addition to everything that I've seen from the Word so far about living free from an addiction, now I'm seeing the introduction of the ministry of the Holy Spirit for my freedom. I'm seeing another spoke on this wheel, if you will. And so it says right here, the Holy Spirit, He'll guide me into all truth. Okay, now, with that in mind, look over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now look here in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He does not say after you are born again. See that? He says after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. I shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon me. Okay, now I'm born again. That qualifies me to be in this position of receiving the Holy Spirit. Just like when Paul went to Ephesus, he met those believers, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost after you believed? They said, oh, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. He says, well, let me tell you about it. And so he told them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, laid hands, prayed for them, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and started praying in tongues. Now, he says right here, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We just read that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We've also read that the Holy Spirit is the one who divinely spoke forth the Word of God, and that the Word of God is truth, and that it is power. So now here we see the Holy Spirit administering power, administering the Word. And then he says, not only have I given the Word, and the Word is power and has power and is truth. He says, but I want to guide you into all truth. And one of the best ways you can do that is to allow me to take up residence in you. Now, I know you're born again. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you have God's nature. But I am not God's nature. Somebody would say, that's blasphemy. Well, understand what I'm saying. When you get born again, it is your spirit that is born again. You understand what I mean? It's not the Holy Ghost that gets born again. It's your spirit that gets born again. So he says, you know, you have the nature of God. Now, yes, I am the agent of regeneration. But I'm standing here making myself available to you. And remember, I'm the one who was the conveyor of power. And Jesus even said so. He said, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, or once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he says you're going to receive power. So here I am, the third person of the Godhead. And I'm making myself available to you, but not just me. I am making my power available to you. Well, what kind of power is that? It's God power. Now, you're not going to be God. You need to understand that. You're not going to turn into the fourth person of the Godhead. But you will have access to God power from within once you let me do this. It's what we refer to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, or being filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, whatever term you like. And as we saw, as we see there in the book of Acts, when the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles, Acts chapter 2, well, the first thing that happened, they began speaking in tongues, a manifestation of that power. In Ephesians, same thing, got filled with the Holy Spirit. There was the manifestation of the power. It took place first with them speaking in tongues. Now, the Holy Spirit is saying, look, this is how I work. Now, if you want this, I will, through this power, begin to help you get to the place of being in all truth. Now, I want you to think about this. There's nothing about any of this that we can deny because we've just seen it in the Word of God. So now here I am. I'm born again. The life of God in me is more powerful than any addiction. But I don't fully understand all that. The Word of God gives me the revelation of my freedom. But I'm having a hard time, you know, comprehending all of that. Shouldn't, but I am. So the Holy Spirit says, look, I'll help. If you let me, I will help you. Because I know how much truth you're not walking in. I know how much truth you're not standing in. I know how much truth you've got bottled up in your head, but has never been able to make it down into your spirit, which is the place where I will dwell. The place, the part of you that's been born again. He says, so here I am, and I'm telling you, as a third person of the Godhead, and I cannot lie, this is what I'm offering to you. Do you want it? My help. Now then it's up to me. And I say, okay, yes, I want this. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I want it to be just like the Bible. Just like the Bible. Let me just kind of preview of things to come. If the Bible is a revelation of God's perfect plan and pattern, why would we want to alter that for any reason? You say, what do you mean? Well, according to Scripture, the plan and pattern is get filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak in tongues. Why would I want to change that? Why would I want to alter that? So, yes, Jesus, God, Father, I want this. I want it just like the Bible, because that's the way it is in Scripture. So this is how I want it. This is what I want it. I want it. So somebody prays for us. You don't have to have somebody pray for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll just use this for the illustration. So somebody prays for us, you know, and be filled, you know, get filled with the Holy Ghost, start speaking in tongues. And God has said in His Word, and the Holy Spirit divinely spoke it forth, said you'll receive power after that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So now here I am, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And right there at my fingertips, all this power. How in the world can I still be addicted to anything? I mean, the power of God is right there. You remember the old commercial, Reach Out and Touch? I can. This is weird, though. If I've got access to all that power, how can I still be addicted to anything? How can I still be struggling? Very simple. It's one thing to have access to the power, but it's another thing to be tapping into it. It's another thing to be tapping into it. Now, God never gets confused. I know that. But using human terms, can you imagine His confusion? Let me get this straight. I gave you my life and my nature that can't be addicted to anything. Then you got filled with the Holy Spirit and you received power. So you have all this going and you're still addicted. I don't understand this. Well, He does understand. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit understands too. He understands every area of our life where truth is not in operation. And Jesus said, you know the truth will make you free. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Therefore, by interacting with the Holy Spirit by having this power at my fingertips. If I apply it, then it is inevitable that if I really do want to be free, I will be. I can't not be, because the power of God can't not set you free. I will be free. I'll wake up one day and it's like, I'm free. I don't even want to do that stuff anymore. Gee whiz. Wonder how that happened. The Holy Spirit's just chuckling. He says, well. And what we're going to be doing here, next time we come together, we'll be taking a look even more on tapping into this power. Because guys, it's there. It's there. So now what we need to do is figure out how to tap into it and understand how that power is going to work in our lives to get us to the place of being in all of that truth and live in that freedom and never again struggle with that addiction. Over the years, I've prayed for a lot of people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what I have found is that a lot of folks are very intimidated by this. It's fear. And then not only is it fear, but also if they're up front in a prayer line, you know, Satan wants you to think everybody on earth is watching you and you alone and listening to you and nobody else. So I understand that there can be that type of intimidation. I do. I really understand it. A lot of people are embarrassed to come forward for prayer for anything. Now, God's words made it very clear that when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're truly born again, that you can have this experience with the Holy Spirit if you want it. And the Holy Spirit, one of the first things that He wants to do for you is give you the ability to pray in tongues. I know it sounds confusing, and I believe me, I've been there, really. I was raised not to believe any of this. But by studying the Word, I found out differently. And the one thing that I can tell you is this. I lived for a long time being a Christian without having that experience with the Holy Spirit, of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the ability to pray in tongues. And I've lived now for a number of years having that experience. And what I can tell you is that my life in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the ability to pray in tongues, I'm telling you, it's a whole lot different. Am I more born again than what I used to be? No. Born again is born again. I'm not more born again. It's just now I'm having this interaction with the Holy Spirit, and He's able to give unto me this truth, guide me into it. And there's so many questions about, you know, speaking in tongues. A lot of people don't understand it, in part because there's been a lot of confusion about it when it's taught. Well, just like every one of us in here or watching, you know, you can speak whatever your language is. You can speak English. You can just open the Bible and start reading it, or we can carry on a conversation and we'll understand each other. Well, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit literally works a miracle in your life. Because what He does is instantly give you the ability to speak in a language that you don't know. In other words, it would almost be like me being able to open my mouth and start speaking in Russian, but I don't know Russian. And I don't know what I'm saying. But all the Russians would understand every word I'm saying. Well, likewise, the Holy Spirit gives me, and gives all who will receive this, it's like, I'll say it this way, it's like He gives you God's language. And you then are able to speak in this language or pray in this language. Now, you don't understand with your mind what you're saying. But because it's God's language, God clearly understands what you're saying. Now, one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit does this is so that when you pray in this language, you're praying the perfect prayer. Because a lot of times when we pray with our mind, we understand what we're saying. We pray what we think is best for us. And many times we're right when we are praying these things. But the Holy Spirit knows what's perfect for us. And so, as we're praying in tongues, you know, He's working that miracle in our spirit, and we're praying in that language that comes from God, and we're praying exactly what it is that God knows we should be praying. And as we pray that, and because it is the perfect prayer, then we know for sure that God's going to answer that prayer, and He's going to move in our lives to bring about whatever we need, whatever the answer is to be. Well, see, I think you're catching on that this can be a very difficult thing to try to explain in English. It's hard to fully and adequately lay this out because it's not of human origin. It comes from God. Now, for those of you who are watching and those of you who are here today, if you have prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know you've done this, and you know you're born again, then you're now a candidate for the Holy Spirit to move in your life in this fashion. But you have to want it. Just like you had to want to be born again, you have to want this as well. Now, I'm going to lead in a prayer. And it's a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to have a prayer line today, because I don't want anybody to feel that intimidation. Many times when I've prayed for people, some of them, I mean, you can tell they're right there, but they're so afraid to speak out in the tongues. It's like they hold back. And I, you know, keep encouraging, and it kind of comes out like a little bit of a whisper and so forth. And then I encourage them, well, you know, when you go home, you know, spend time praying in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit encourage you in this. Well, we're not going to have a prayer line today. And for those of you at home, obviously, there's no way we could have this prayer line. But right where you are, here in this room today or at home, wherever you are, that is your prayer line, right where you are. And as I lead you in this prayer, what I want you to do is just imagine that it's Jesus laying His hands on you and praying for you. Just like John the Baptist said, there's one who's coming after me. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I just want you in your mind to imagine that it's Jesus doing this for you right now. And as I lead in this prayer, it's going to be a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit to receive that manifestation of praying in tongues. Now, if you want this, you can have it. And you can have it before the service is over. But it's up to you. Now, at the end of this prayer, I'm going to say in Jesus' name, amen, and then I'm going to start praying in tongues. And all of you who are filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to pray in tongues as well. But I'm also asking you to pray loudly enough so that if there are those here today who are a little intimidated about this, we'll kind of drown them out and they won't feel so intimidated. I think you all know what I mean by that. Now, when you pray in tongues, you have to use your own oxygen, your lungs. You have to use your own energy. The Holy Ghost isn't going to, you know, create an energy in you. You have to use your own energy. You have to move your lips. And you have to move your tongue. And your mind, it may sound like you're trying to talk baby talk. Or that it's your mind, it may feel like it's just a bunch of gibberish. But what's happened is you've prayed to receive this from God, and God's giving it to you by the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, your mind won't understand a thing about it, but it's your spirit that's praying through you. So, if that's you, I want you just to pray along with us, whether you're at home or here in the sanctuary today. And then at the end of the prayer, when I say, in Jesus' name, amen, you just start praying in tongues. You say, well, what will it sound like? Well, it may not sound like me or anybody else. It's whatever the Holy Spirit is going to do through you. You say, well, what do I know what to say? You won't know. Remember, it's not your mind. It's coming out of your spirit. So just, best way I can describe it, I guess, is just start making those sounds. And it will be the Holy Spirit working in you, giving you the ability to pray in tongues. So everybody bow your heads, please. Pray this with me. Jesus, I once again confess you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you that I am born again. I thank you that you've cleansed me from sin. And I thank you for giving me your life. And right now, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I ask you to fill me. And I receive it from you, Jesus. And right now, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. And I ask you to give to me the ability to pray in tongues. I receive this gift from you. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, for those of you who are here, if indeed you did pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you received that infilling, and you're praying in tongues, it's the first time this has happened to you, we have a book that I want to give to you. Come up and see me real quick before you take off. I want to give a book to you that goes into explicit, intricate detail about what's happening when you pray in tongues. Now, for those of you who are watching, if you prayed this prayer and you were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to pray in tongues and so forth, what I'd like you to do is either write to us or send an email. You can send an email there at the website, the contact us. Send an email so that not only can we pray for you, but we'd like to send you a copy of this book too. The title of the book is Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power by Pastor Dave Roberson. And he's my pastor, and it's the best book you'll find anywhere about praying in tongues. And we will send a copy of it to you, no charge whatsoever. And for those of you who are here, we'll give the book to you at no charge. So make sure you contact us, because we definitely want to continue to pray for you. Hallelujah.